I'll be reading Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its flowing. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
I would typically be up here on the front row, but I was waiting for the other two people that were supposed to preach today to get up here. I guess I'll take the first 10 minutes, and then whoever the other two are, do you know who they are? The other two individuals will just... Just a few things. First of all, and I do feel it's important to make this comment. We are here from California, and this is not what people always wear in California when they go to church. It's usually shorts. And so I at least put jeans on, Dave, for you. I did not expect to preach when we came out here, but I'm glad for the opportunity. I love coming back here and seeing everybody, and it feels so comfortable when we come back here and an opportunity to see warm, friendly faces and to see people that that we love so much. And had I known Dan, now I'm all nervous with Dan here, like, because I didn't know you were going to be here today. So now I'm like stressed out. All right, now I feel relieved. Be still and know that I am God. I don't think there's very many more passages in the Bible that are more powerful than be still and know that I'm God. The new year is an amazing time of the year. Because the new year means a lot of things for us. The new year means hope. It's a time of new beginnings. It's a time of new things. It's a time of putting the old things behind us. It's a time where we have the opportunity to look at the things that we wanted to do the year before, maybe we didn't do, and set what we call resolutions. And most of us set resolutions, and the moment we set them, we're already thinking about how long it'll take before we do what? Break them. Because that's what resolutions are for, right? That's what we make them for. We have to make something in order to break it. But David writes in the book of Psalm, and this is not going to be the main text that we're going to look at this morning, but David writes in the book of Psalm in the 46th chapter from a place, I believe, that David understands about new beginnings. David, of all people, knows what it's like to need new beginnings. David gets it. David gets it in a way that many people don't get it. David gets it in a way that maybe we need to get it. In fact, David writes over in Psalm 32 about something he gets. He gets the idea of new beginnings. But one thing we have to understand about new beginnings before we even get into this idea of what real resolution is that new beginnings can only begin when we acknowledge that something needs to be changed, that something needs to be different. I can't make a new beginning in my life psychologically unless I acknowledge that something needs to be done differently. And so in Psalm 32, David makes this statement. He says, when I refused to confess my sin. Now, I don't want to necessarily make this all about sin, because maybe it's not. I don't want to make this all about just, maybe it's just something that you need to acknowledge I didn't do. I'm not doing this the way I need to. He says, when I refused to acknowledge my sin, he says, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night your hand of discipline was heavy on me, and my strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Have you ever noticed that? How when you're not doing things that you know you should be doing, you just feel really terrible inside? You ever notice that? I sit with people sometimes in sessions, and I talk to people in sessions, and we will talk about how their life is and what's going on with them, and they'll talk about the fact that something's just not right, and I don't know what it is. And people pay big money to go talk to therapists about what's wrong in their life. And oftentimes it begins with, there's something you're not doing that you should be doing. And that's what David's acknowledging. And it's not always about sin. Okay? Maybe every time you walk in your house, your door doesn't open just right. And every time you open that door, and it doesn't close just right, it doesn't open just right, you're thinking to yourself, man, I've been meaning to fix that door. You know what I'm saying? It can be something that simple. And there's that reminder inside of something's not working right. And we know that. So David says, when I do this, my strength is evaporated like water in the summer heat. And this is what he says. David gets new beginnings. I love David because David gets new beginnings. He gets the need for new beginnings. He gets the whole thrust of new beginnings. He says this. Finally. That's a powerful word to David. Finally. Because there's been a long time that I haven't, but finally. Finally, he says, I confessed all my sin to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone. Now, I want us to focus on something real quick before we get into our real text. I want us to focus on this. That David acknowledges that there is a place of new beginnings that begins when we acknowledge that something's not right. I need to do something different. So we're coming up to a new year, and we're going to make what? We're going to make resolutions. We're going to try to do something different in this new year. Something that we've not done the same. And so David says, finally I admitted that there's something wrong in my life because I can't get better until I admit that something's not right. Finally I admitted it. And he says, God removed all of the, notice what he says. He doesn't say sin. Because that's what God's supposed to do, right? He's supposed to forgive our sins. Right? We know that, right? Forgive our sins. What does he say? He says, he forgave the guilt. Notice that. You see, sin is that activity that we do. Guilt is that thing that holds us back inside. Guilt is that thing that makes us feel like I can't get over this. Guilt is that thing that makes us say I can never get better. But I like David. Because David gets new beginnings. I like Paul, too. Because Paul gets new beginnings. You know about Paul, right? I mean, most of us know about Paul. Paul's a guy who did some things in his life that needed an opportunity to start over again. Paul persecuted the church. Paul did some things that were not right. We would look at Paul and we would say, my goodness, of all of them. In fact, Paul looked at himself in the mirror every day and he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. I'm the worst. I'm the top. I'm the most of all the sinners. I've got the corner market. But I like David and I like Paul. Because Paul puts some things forth for us in Philippians chapter 3. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul mentions some things about new beginnings. Because I want for us to think about the opportunity that we have that's in front of us. Like never before, we have an opportunity that's in front of us for a new beginning, a new start, a clean slate, a fresh opportunity. But we can't start over until we acknowledge that something's not right. I can't get anywhere until I admit that I'm not where I need to be. And so David writes in Psalm chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved it yet. I don't mean to say that I'm already there because I acknowledge that I'm not where I want to be. See, I like Paul because Paul knows what new beginnings are all about. And you and I are about to have an opportunity at new beginnings January 1st. January 1st, we are going to have a whole new 12 months, a whole new 52 weeks. A whole new 365 days we're going to have. We're going to have 8,760 hours. We're going to have 526,600 minutes. I mean, for those of you who like to get technical. We've got some time. Now, we don't know how much time we have. The Scriptures clearly let us know that. So we don't know that we've got 365. We don't know we've got 52 or 12. But we do know that we've got some time. And that time is right now. You see, and that's the beauty of resolution. I can resolute in my life every single day that today I'm going to live better for God. Today I'm going to set things better. Paul says, I don't think I've already attained it yet. Why does he say that? So that when he looks in the mirror, he knows, I'm not there yet. I need to keep on working. Because the moment we ever think I finally arrived, we got to start all over again. I haven't gotten there yet. And maybe that's the place we need to start. Is by, first of all, just acknowledging that we need to be a people that are willing to acknowledge where we're wrong, but be willing to do what Paul says. He's going to acknowledge something here. He says this. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, but or I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus has possessed me. Now listen, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. But I focus on one thing. Now notice this. He says this, I focus on, you ever notice that sometimes when you focus on a lot of things, you don't do any of them real well? So he says, I want you to do this, I want you to focus on one thing. Read it in your own version. He says, forgetting. That's a big word. He says, forgetting the past. That's a big word. And I would almost guarantee that there's some here today that are going to have trouble with any kind of resolution because of that right there. I can't forget the past. But Paul says, in order for Paul, let's read this from who's writing it. Paul is writing this, a man who knows I've made mistakes, I've stumbled, I've fallen, I've fallen down a million times, he says, but I have to do this. I have to forget the past. Because the past is where Satan lives. And he wants to drag us down with it. And I want to be the first one to admit to you this morning that that's difficult for me to do. How about you? See, I think that's the beauty of what we do when we come together here. We can hold each other up. We can build each other up. We can let each other know that you're not alone in this thing. You don't have to bear it all alone. You don't have to carry it all on your own. That we have the ability to forget the past. We have the ability to look beyond things. Paul was just being real with himself. Paul was being real with himself and letting other people just read in on his life. I need to forget the past. I need to forget those things and move on. Allowing the past failures to creep up in your mind hinders our success for the future. Constantly remembering all the mistakes we make only keeps us from getting anywhere in the future. Now let me just say this. There is a psychological point that does acknowledge that we have to remember things that we've done wrong so we don't repeat them again, right? So we know that. We know that there are certain things that we need to remember so we don't go back down those roads. The alcoholic says, I can't have one more drink because I know if I do, I'll get back where I was. So what's he saying? He's not saying literally that we just absolutely forget it, but he says we're not going to give it power anymore. Why? Because the power was in the blood from the cross. That past doesn't have to hold you back anymore. We've all got a past, don't we? I mean, from the youngest of us in here, I guarantee there's a young child here this morning that's done something wrong. Right? Any parents want to amen that? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all got pasts. Every one of us have a past. So as our resolutions come up for this next year, where we need to start is by forgetting that. Not out of our mind, but out of that that holds us back. I forget that past. I let it go. I'm not going to allow that to bind me up anymore. Paul had some things he had to forget. But knowing where he was in the past and where he was in the present sets forth where he goes in the future. Am I where I want to be? Do I acknowledge at this point that I'm not where I need to be like David did? Do I acknowledge that I'm at this point that I'm not where I want to be like Paul would have done? Paul could have sat around and focused completely on how far he had come, but you know, Paul never did that. You and I might look at Paul and think, Paul, you are an amazing man. Like you had any more that you needed to do. But Paul says, I'm not there yet. I haven't reached perfection yet. I haven't arrived yet. And if Paul can say that, then we too as well should be able to. Paul acknowledges that there's something that needs to change. Realistically, we've all made resolutions. We've all made promises. We've all made goals. We've all had plans. And we've all dropped them. And it usually comes about with something that we say like, well, I would, but I just know that I probably won't anyway. I'd make a resolution, but, you know, I learned a number of years ago that I never keep them. So I even make them. You know? Well, I would say I'm going to fix that, but I just know I'm not. So if I don't say it, then I don't fail. So why even try? Resolution is about setting things before us that we want to do. Those goals, those things that we need to achieve. But that we don't have a defeatist attitude that tells us that we can't beat those things, that we can't do them. It's like the cartoon character Calvin and Calvin and Hobbes. Said, God put me on this earth to achieve so many things. And I'm so far behind right now, I'll never die. You ever feel like that? You know, I'm not keeping any of my resolutions. I'm not keeping anything I want to do. And I feel terrible about me. I feel terrible about where I'm at. Can I just ask today, can we do something? And I don't know if we do this, but can we do this? Can we just all have like a clean slate moment? Can we do that? Just within our own selves? Just a moment where we're going to say, you know what? Maybe today is the day that I need to start over. And let me just say this. Don't wait till January 1st. I think that's the reason we fail at our resolutions. Because we wait till January 1st. Like, that's the magical day. Like once that clock strikes, then I'm, you know. Make them now. Start today. And today, if the day doesn't go like you think it should go, then when you wake up tomorrow, forget today and start over again. It's one of the things I do with our girls sometimes at night. If they've done some things, and not that they ever do, but, you know, if they do some things that you know, we don't like, maybe they don't mind like they should, and they'll go to bed and you can just tell, you know, their faces, they just look down, they look upset. And I always try to tell them, tomorrow's a new day. Because I want them to understand that because of God, we don't have to wake up every single day in our muck and mess. We don't have to wake up every single day in our past. We can get beyond those things. But we have to first of all acknowledge that we've got them. That we need to move beyond those things. So David acknowledged those things. And so Paul acknowledged those things. We have to be a people that believe that God is powerful enough, that He's a big God enough to handle our problems. Because you know what? The reality is you and I aren't. We're just not. So first of all, if we want to keep some resolutions, we need to forget the past. Secondly, and probably most importantly in this, is that we need to press toward the future. Because let me just say this. We can forget all day long, but until we get up and do something, we're not changing a thing, are we? We're not changing a thing. So today we need to be a people that not only forget the past, but we press on to the future. And that's what Paul says. He says in verse 12, I don't mean to say I've already achieved it, or I've reached perfection, but I do this. I press on. He says, get that word. I press on. I forget and I press on. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies. How many of us look forward? I'm looking forward. That's supposed to be a positive comment, isn't it? I'm looking forward to. I'm looking in direction. I'm not looking in the past. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, has called. Someone once said, I made 6 resolutions this last year and I kept them all. They're in an envelope on the top of my refrigerator. Kept every one of them. Didn't do a thing about them, but I kept them all. I think for us today, and I just want to say I'm speaking from a place of very personal experience. I'm speaking from a place of knowing what it's like to be so wrapped up in a place, to be so wrapped up in hurt and pain and misery. And you guys know this stuff, not about me, but about you. Because we can all speak from those places. Those places where we know, I need to start over. And I'm eating up inside, but I don't know how. And Paul gives us that recipe. He says, forget it. David says, acknowledge it, confess it to God, and move on. So maybe today there's things that we have in our lives. Maybe there's places in our lives that we need to go. Maybe there's things in our lives we need to do. And this shouldn't be about some resolution that we just make haphazardly. This shouldn't be about something where we just simply say, I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna stop smoking. Whatever it might be that we typically resolve to do at the beginning of the year. Why do we resolve those things? We do that because we want to be better. Jesus Christ wants to make us better. He wants to set us free. He wants to let us go. As we make our resolutions, forgetting the past, we need to be a people that actively strain, actively press, actively strive forward. Because if we're not striving forward, then we're moving backwards, and we'll very easily and quickly move back into where we were before. And so he says, I press on to the future. I don't stay around in the past. You and I need to determine what goals, what resolutions we need to make. Press on toward, Paul says, I press on toward the goal. I press on. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and the encumbrance that easily entangles us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus. What's he say? The whole Bible is wrapped up in this idea of a God that's willing to allow us to move beyond our past. We too need to be a people that accept it and move on as well. Some of the worst things we can do to ourselves is keep us where we are, knowing that God's already let us go. He's already set us free. He's already unleashed us. He's already taken the chains, the bondage away. But we hold us where we are. So let's be real. There's some things this year that we all need to do. Every one of us in here. There's things every one of us need to do this year. And maybe you'll call them New Year's resolutions, maybe you won't. Whatever you call, however you wrap it up, it doesn't matter. There's things we all need to do. The question is, are we going to forget about all the times we failed? Forget all the times we haven't? And are we going to press on? Try again? Because one of the most beautiful concepts in all of the Bible, one of the most beautiful concepts in all of Christianity, is that the only time you're ever really, really, really defeated is when you don't get back up. So let me ask you today, are you going to get back up? Or are you going to stay down with the defeats of the resolutions you haven't kept? Are you going to stay down with the defeats of the things that you haven't done and you feel like, I've never done it before, why start now? God says, you start now because I'm giving you another chance. I'm giving you an opportunity to let it go. Just let it go. So just a few things, a few ideas for our resolutions. Set some attainable goals for yourself this next year. Simple things. Just set some attainable goals. You know? Maybe it's not for you to say, I'm going to go out and remodel my entire house by myself. That might not be attainable for you. But maybe you can change the door handle. You know what I'm saying? Set an attainable goal. Surround yourself with people that can help you achieve that goal. See, that's the thing that we're all here for, isn't it? And I think one of the beauties that the church needs to be for people, because there's people in here right now that are hurting. There's people in here right now that are hurting. And you know what? You may be sitting next to them and you may not even know it. But the church needs to be a place where people can come together and can acknowledge that I don't do it all right. I don't have it all together. And instead of throwing stones at them, we kneel down with them. And we love them. We support them. And we encourage them. We build them up. And we remind them, when they can't remind themselves, God's willing to forget your past. Now you need to. This is tough. Because this isn't about New Year's resolutions. It's about every day we open our eyes. Every day is a new beginning. And God blesses us with it all the time. And I could be cheesy and say that's why it's called the present. And I just did. So there. But that's what it is, isn't it though? It's an opportunity. So if you're in school and you haven't been getting good grades, then what do? Accept the grades or do you try a little harder? If your marriage isn't what it should be, do you accept where it's at or do we forget it and try a little harder? If your job's not going like it should be, do we just accept that it's just not what it is or do we try to make it a little better? There's a lot that we can do. But we have to start off by acknowledging that we're not where we need to be. And that we're not where God wants us to be. We can either be defined by our past, or we can choose to define who we will be in the present. Both of these will lead to our future, but only one of these gives us the opportunity to actually do something about it. Unfortunately, I can't change my past. Neither can you. But I can make a choice today. I'm not going to let my past continue to hold me back. I'm not going to let it keep defining me. I'm not going to let it keep holding me back and keeping me in chains. So I just want to ask today, what kind of resolutions are you going to make? Make them. They're fun. They're exciting. But don't keep them to yourself. Tell somebody else about it so they'll hold you to it. God wants to give us an opportunity to start all over again. But it starts by forgetting the past. Forgetting the things we've done wrong. Don't let them hold you back anymore. God released us by the power of the cross and press on to the future. You ready to press on? Get busy. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take time. But if you put the effort and the energy into pressing forward, I guarantee you'll get a lot further than you will just sitting idly by. So today the invitation is open for you. It's open for every one of us. We have the opportunity. Maybe today is that day when we, like David, just acknowledge my life's not what it needs to be. It's not where it needs to be. I've got things inside that I'm holding inside. And it doesn't even necessarily take you coming forward and saying to the church, here's the specifics of all the bad stuff I've done. Because you know what? God knows. We don't have to support you. But we can love and support the individual that acknowledges my life's not where it needs to be. And that's all I need to know. God does the rest. So today, won't you take that opportunity? Start over. Press on. As together we stand and sing.